Come, love is blue. Come flood this place,
you,
your glory. draw me nearer, nearer, blessing heart, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw
There's probably some needs that are sitting in these pews. If you have a need, step out in the aisles or either come up front. If you have a need in your life, step in the aisles or come up front. If you have a need in physical body, if you have a need in financial issues, if you have a need in mental health, if you have a need in the emotions that you're going through, step out now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we always sing these songs, draw me nearer. And God, I want to be close to you, close to you. How close do you want to be to God? Because you know what? He's there. But we have to draw near to him. It is our choice to draw near to him because he cannot seek after you unless you are seeking after him. You're only as close as you want to be to the Lord. And it comes in many ways, people. When you get up in the mornings, are you reading your devotion? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you praying? And are you listening to the Lord? You know, a lot of times when we pray, we say, "Give me, give me, give me, give me, Jesus." And that's it. But when we pray, we bring our needs to Him and we say, "Not my will, Lord, but yours." And then we listen to the Father. Because you know what? A communication with the Lord is not just speaking to Him, but Him speaking to us through the Word, through our meditation and quiet time with Him. Those things matter. I've been there. I've been there when I said, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, Jesus. This is what I want. 1, 2, 3. And I want them in this order." But you know what? God knows the plans for our life. And if we give Him the step 1, step 2, step 3, we are not being submissive to Him, as we spoke about last week. Allowing Him to lead us, guide us, and walk in His plan for our lives. Amen. Pastor, would you and your wife come and assist with prayer today for those? Yes, Pastor Jerry and your wife. Pastor Harp and Pastor Brian. Yes. And I know we have prayer leaders here as well. And today, those sitting in your seats are saying, "I don't have a need." But would you be praying for Dawn Lee, who's in the hospital and is recovering? Praise God. Yes, yes. God has worked miracles in her life and is continuing. And also be in prayer for Greg Goss. There are two of our people that are hospitalized right now, and we need prayer for them. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This morning I was speaking to the drummer back here, and he was talking about, you know, we pray to God and we're like, "Where's the answer? Like, when's it going to come?" This is penciled in. This has not been practiced. This lady, this playing with us today, penciled this in at the bottom of the worship. It's called "This is the Air I Breathe." We never practiced the song, but we're going to play a little bit of it. And I believe what it's saying is we want the healing. We want those blessings. We have to be breathing it. We have to be breathing this word. We have to be drawing close to Him. And we will see those miracles happen. It's not about the work we do. It's about the grace He's given, right? So if we get on our knees, and I've seen it happen. Like, I tell myself to get on my knees, but when I finally did it, it actually happened, getting on my knees, you know? Not guitar, it was spiritual things I wanted to see happen. So I want to encourage you that this morning. Get in the word and pray and seek His face. Don't just ask and leave, you know? That's what it's about. So, like I said, this song's called "Air I Breathe." I haven't played it in like 15 years, but I think it's what's here right now. The Lord wants us to breathe Him in this morning, so. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence is living in me. This is my daily bread. Come on, it's all beautiful. This is my daily bread. Your holy presence living in me, and I living in
praise the Lord. What a good time in the Lord this morning. If you're still at the altars, please stay here. Don't allow us to hinder what the Lord is doing. Yes, yes. And I just want to thank the church body for being such a support to one another. You know, so many times we come into the church and I can see y'all supporting one another, high-fiving one another, hugging, giving encouragement, and also throughout the week, people sending text messages and calling one another and just supporting, providing that support that you need. This has been a busy weekend. Some of our ladies actually went over to the RISE conference. You can be seated. Went over to the RISE conference in Askeville at their church. And of course, some of us were just followers to see Reese. Reese actually was asked to minister there and dance. And so she did provide the dance there Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, it ended with a great word from Keisha Spivey. And we ladies know Keisha Spivey well and love her ministry. So it's been a busy weekend. We have busy things coming up this month. Make sure you're checking and make sure you're ready for these things. March the 4th, we'll actually be going to an after-hours sale, women, at Kaylee Jace. Men, we will let you in if you're going to buy something for your wife. But we will also make funds. We will actually earn funds for our Touch the World project. So this will be our first project for the year, and so we're excited about that. We're also excited that Harp Bishop is going to be our speaker on March the 18th at a out-of-the-box event. Women, prepare, because we're going to need to wear our green. And you know that green means life. And honestly, step outside in today's grass. Dark brown, looks dead. Step outside when spring is beginning. You see those little bursts of green popping through? Is there anything better than to take your shoes off and walk through the green grasses and realize what God has given us? Nature is such an enjoyment, but how green and how full of life when those flowers begin to bust out, and some of them have. I noticed on the way to church today, and some little patches of grass are popping through, or maybe it's green onions, I don't know, but it looks good. Yes, yes. So women, be prepared, keep on the lookout. Also, men have an event coming up, so make sure that you're staying connected with your leaders and staying connected with the calendar. All right. At this time, we're going to give in worship our tithes and offerings. The buckets are up front here. Feel free to give now. And I'm just going to pray that God utilize these funds. Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving to us, for allowing us, Lord, to earn a living and allowing us, Father, to pay our bills and to have the things that you would have us to have in daily life. We thank you, Lord, that we can give back to you our tithes and our offerings. We thank you, Father, that we are diligent in doing what you ask us to do. And Father, we thank you for the people sitting here today, that you are guiding them. You are changing their lives. You are bringing them closer to you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the hunger of everyone sitting here that desires more of you. Draw me close, God. Give me more, God. Let me be a vessel of your love so that I can bring others to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being with Ukraine. We ask, Lord, that you intervene. We know, Father, that your will be done through this situation. And Father, we give you praise for all you're doing behind the scenes. Lord, you hear your people. You hear their prayers. And Father, we join them today in praying, Lord, protection over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, amen. I'm thankful for the opportunity today to speak to you about my favorite subject, children. For those of you that may not know much about me, I'm the kids pastor here. I've been here for a little over 13 years now, and it's just been a privilege. You guys have become my family. I've met my husband here, raising my kids here, and as Pastor Joy said, I'm thankful for the community that is here. And I have a picture up here in just a second of our family. And our family now, Trent is 18. He's grown up on us, and he's a senior in high school, and he is going to Greenville in a few months. And then this picture is actually a little over a year old, but Jackson is 5, and Harper is almost 3. They're growing up too fast on us. And I've always loved kids. Pretty much it wasn't very long after I graduated out of kids' church growing up that I was back in kids' church as a volunteer and then eventually as a kids' pastor. And I'm thankful for that opportunity, but something just hits differently when you actually have kids. You know, there's no more being the fun auntie and taking them back to their parents. You are the parents then. Everything is different. Your house is different. Your car is different. Your bank account is different. Everything. Your sleep. That sleep is definitely different in my house. Your sleep is different, but your home is different. The laughter, the joy in your home is so different. What was life even like before kids? Psalms 127, verse number 3 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." Children are our blessing. It says they're our reward. I'm sure there's some sitting here that have not experienced that blessing. Maybe it's just not yet, or maybe it's not possible. But I know God is faithful. He sees you. He's faithful to provide children or to provide opportunities to love others and influence them like they were your children. With having children comes great responsibility. And of course, we provide for our kids. It's our responsibility to feed and clothe and protect and take care of them. We want them to succeed. But the responsibility that weighs so heavy on my heart is our spiritual responsibility for our children. I haven't watched the latest Spider-Man movie yet, but in the Spider-Man story, the uncle always tells Peter Parker, or Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think it's that way with parenting, not that we have some kind of great power that should go to our head, but because as the parents of our children, we are the single greatest influence on their life. We at Carpenter's Kids here, we love your kids. We pray for your kids. We love to teach your kids. But we will just never compare to parents in your kids' eyes. We don't have the opportunity to be with your kids all the time when they wake up and when they go to bed at night. And to be honest, like I said, we just can't compare to parents. They may never admit it, especially if they're old enough to be cool, but they look up to you parents. They look at you parents. So that brings us back to our responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. My kids love the little cartoon show called Bluey. And in one of the episodes of that cartoon, it's called Shadowlands. And they play this game, and they're trying to stay in the shadow of different objects on the playground. Maybe it's the shadow of the tree or the shadow of the playground equipment. And if you step out into the sunny spot, then you're out. And Jackson, he takes it a step further, and now he tries to stay in my shadow. And when we're walking over from the church, from the house to the church in the afternoon, he'll be jumping around and doing whatever he can to stay in my shadow. And one day as he was doing this, I was thinking that this relates to more than a game. You know, he is in my shadow. The hard question is, because we have this amazing opportunity to impact our kids and influence them in a way that will last them for a lifetime. But the hard question is, what will my kids pick up in my shadow? You know, are they going to pick up a deep and lasting faith that will just stay with them? Or are they going to pick up a more convenient faith? You know, that's there with you and there with them in the hard times, but maybe just not when something more important or more fun is happening. Are they going to pick up respect for others? Are they going to pick up kindness? Or are they going to pick up bitterness and discontentment and anger and lack of self-control? What will my kids pick up in my shadow? My mom was a kindergarten teacher for many years, and there was a song that she would always have played at her kindergarten graduation. And I haven't heard it in over 15 years, but I can still hear it in my head. When I grow up, I want to be just like you. Don't disappoint me. I can see what you do. If you follow Jesus, then I will follow him too. And we all want to lead our kids to Jesus, right? We all want to lead our kids not just to a knowledge of Jesus, but to that deep and lasting faith and relationship with him. But the good news is that God hasn't just left us to struggle and try to figure out how to do that. We've been talking about how family matters. Family matters to God. We've been talking the last few weeks, and God isn't just painting this picture because it's something he just wants us to do, but God created us. He knows us, and he knows how best for our family to function. The first week, Pastor Wallace talked about how the husband should love the wife and lead and protect his family. And then last week, Pastor Joy talked about the wife submitting to that leadership and allowing her husband to lead. And then that leaves us to the question of, what about the rest of the family? Where does that leave the rest of the family? If you'll take a look at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 1 through 4. Let's read the rest of that passage. And verse number 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So looking at this passage, we see the first command, children, to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, of course, I can't let the kids get off too easy in a message that's about kids obeying their parents. And our little ones are upstairs, but this particular commandment doesn't actually have a specific age limit. And if you are living under your parents' authority or in your parents' home, then this commandment is for you. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 15, and you can just taste that freedom that is on the horizon. I've been 15, and I've now helped raise a 15-year-old, and you know, I know that that's not always something that older kids and teens want to hear. Just like Pastor Joy talked last week about women, you know, kind of stiffen up when we hear about submitting. Kids and older teens, sometimes they're not even trying to hide it. You know, their whole body, you know, you see it on their face, their whole body language. We know that kids and teens don't always like to hear the word obey. But God knows you, kids and teens, and all of us. He knows that you would be, when he gave this command, that you would be craving independence and you would be growing into this amazing person that was trying to make your own way, but he still knew that you would benefit from your parents' instruction and guidance along the way. So the key word here in Ephesians 6:1 is obey. And obey means to both hear and respond to the hearing. The idea is like someone hearing a knock on the door, and then you go to listen to the one who knocks. It's hearing and it's doing. But let's be honest, obedience isn't easy, is it? Because obedience requires us to do something, a lot of times to do something that we really don't want to do. It interrupts our regularly scheduled life. But when Paul uses this word, children, like I said before, he's talking to children living at home under your parents' care. So for all kids still living at home today, this is for you from God. Obey your parents in the Lord. But there's more to it than just blind obedience. If you go back, it says, because God isn't asking for you to obey just because. Look at the phrase. It says, in the Lord. What does that mean? It means that the obedience that you show your parents is obedience to God. When you seek to obey God, you seek to obey your parents, you're seeking to follow God. The obedience that kids show their parents as Christians is their obedience to God. And it gives kids and teens and young people a great way to walk out your faith by obeying your parents. It's not always easy, but following Christ isn't always easy. And if we're honest, sometimes we struggle with obeying God too, right? I have my 5-year-old Jackson. He is my why child. Not wild child, but why child. To every statement you could possibly make, he wants to know why. Of course, in my mama's words, I want to say, because I said so. And that's been my response more than once. But I try to explain to him. For number one, he needs to listen and obey because God asks us to. But number two, because I love him, I care for him, I want what's good for him. I want him to be safe, well cared for, protected, on the right path. And because of that, he can trust me. If he can trust an earthly parent, how much more can we trust God? We can trust God in the same way. A few weeks ago, my kids were fighting over a book. And they love books, but we have shelves of books. But they were fighting over this book, and this particular book was one that had been passed down from an older cousin when Jackson was a baby, and they've loved it. It is worn out. It's ragged on the outside. It's really more of a baby book, so it's made its way to Harper's bookshelf. And Jackson had decided he wanted to read it, but Harper was not having it. She was not happy about it, and she repeatedly and very loudly declared that it was her book. That's me book, she said. That's me book. And she was so unhappy, she started becoming physically aggressive. I think she was grabbing his face. I can't remember what she was doing. She ended up in timeout. So after timeout was over, she finally started to calm down, and she was snuggling in my lap, and oh, she was being sweet, and I was thinking, oh, it's been a rough morning, but the storm is over, we made it. So she's snuggling, and it had been a while now, and she looked up at me, and she said, Mama, come here, I'm going to tell you something. And I looked at her, and I realized she wanted me to lean down, she wanted to whisper in my ear. So I thought, oh, this is going to be sweet. She's going to tell me something sweet. She's a sweet girl. And so I lean my ear down, and she leans close just to say, Mama, that's me book. I can't even make up some of the stuff that she says. But it made me think about how many times have I done that with God. You know, I want something so bad, but it's not for me. And so God, even sometimes he sits me to the side and he puts me to the side and gives me time, but I'm still stubborn. And I want to whisper in God's ear, no, no, that's mine. I want that, but it's not for me. And what God really wants is for us to trust him. In part, it doesn't matter what age we are. He knows what is best for us. And part of trusting him is obeying him. And part of obeying him is obeying our parents. Now, of course, if your parents are instructing you to do something that goes against God's word, that would be different. It goes according to what it says in the Lord. But then Paul goes on to say, obedience is right. Why is it right? Well, if you look in cultures around the world, you'll see that obedience to parents is the norm. But as Christians and believers, it's right in a different kind of way because it's connected to a command. If you look at the next part of the verse, honor your father and mother, you will notice quotation marks. Paul is quoting the Old Testament here, Exodus 20, 12, and Deuteronomy 5, 16, the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. So now Paul, he's shifting here. He's shifting from just talking to the small young kids and teens to now he's talking to us all. Because see, the Ten Commandments are binding on us all. They're the basic structure of a good life that God established from the beginning. So the first part of Ephesians chapter 6, 1 is to children, obey your parents. But the second command we see, honor your father and your mother, is for us all. Once we have our own family and we live independently, to obey would be out of order. But God takes it one step further, and now honoring remains a commandment. The Greek word for honor, to revere, prize, and value. We honor our parents with our actions and our attitude. Jesus reminded the Pharisees about God's command to honor in Matthew chapter number 15. The Pharisees obeyed the letter of the law, but they had added all of their own things to the law that basically overrode the law. They had added their own traditions to it. So the Pharisees, they appeared to honor their parents in word, but their actions displayed their true motive. The word honor in this passage, I love English, I'm an English major, is a verb, and it demands an action, a right action. Maybe you might say, well, my parents weren't there for me growing up. They never encouraged me, or any list of things that our parents may have done or not done that still impact who we are today. But this type of honor that we're talking about is not just an honor on merit, but on rank. In other words, if there's a political leader we don't agree with, we should still respect their position. In the same way, we still should show honor to our parents, even if we feel they may not deserve it. We may feel they may not deserve this honor. We can show honor to our parents by expressing appreciation, asking them for advice, providing, taking care of them, communicating with them. And sometimes we can show honor for our parents by forgiving them. Ephesians 6:2 continues, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. How many of you have ever experienced that things just go better when we honor and obey, right? So this brings us to our last command in the passage. Looking now at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Other translations here say, don't provoke your children to anger. Paul repeats this whole command again in Colossians chapter number 3, where he again tells children to obey their parents in everything. And in Colossians 3, 21, Paul tells parents not to provoke their children to anger, lest they become discouraged. But I really think the Amplified version of the Bible lays it out the clearest. And it says, fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference, treat them tenderly with loving kindness so they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. That's a mouthful. Parenting is hard. It's a lot easier to read the first part of the passage about kids obeying us, but it's tempting to just kind of skip over this last part. But this is God's plan for the family. Husbands, wives, children, and now parents, because family matters. Your family matters to God. We have to teach our children obedience. We have to teach them. They, as they get older and they want to push their boundaries, it may not be natural for them to obey, but we have to teach them God's commands. It's also important that we do so with tenderness, with mercy, with love. Because isn't that what God does for us every day? You know, God still loves us with a tender and lasting love. He still encourages us, but he still requires and expects obedience. Our children need us to teach them. If you read again the last bit of this passage, it says, instead of exasperating our kids, we should instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Friends, there has never been a more important time to train our kids in the instruction of the Lord. Satan has moved his attack. Satan wants to bring down Christianity. He always has. He always will. But he realizes that to bring down the church would be difficult. I heard it illustrated this way. If you took a pack of pencils and you tried to break them, the whole pack at one time, it would be difficult. But if you take one pencil out and you try to break that one pencil, then snap, that's not very difficult to break. Satan is going after each and every household. He knows that if he can get Christ and Christ-like living out of the home, then he can affect Christianity and the church for generations to come. Many studies have been done over the last 20 or so years. The numbers vary, but studies show that between 59 and 90% of teens leave the faith after graduation. Even on the bottom there, 59%, I'm not okay with. That breaks my heart as a kids pastor, but also as a mom. If I have my kids get a good education and they stay busy with extracurriculars and they succeed in life and they do all these things, what good is it if they don't develop a lasting faith, a faith deep enough to sustain them and last into adulthood? I think church is so important. Obviously, this is what I do. Much of my family's life literally revolves around the church. I think fellowship with the church is so important. We spend our time dreaming of ways to grow our kids' ministry and training for it and praying for your kids and praying and for that your kids' faith will grow deeper. But we have to partner together. The battle is being waged at home. But God has a solution. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, in the verse number 1 says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There is one true God. There are no alternate paths to him. He is the one true God, and he calls us to be in a loving relationship with him. We're not just called to hang out at church on Sunday morning, but to have, as Pastor Joy was talking about earlier, to draw to him, to have a loving and lasting relationship. But the question is, are we in love with God? I heard a challenge recently that said, go to your kids and ask your kids who you are in love with. What do you love? Who would your kids say? What would your kids say that you love? Are we living in a way that people would say we are in love with God? Did you notice in the passage it says, love the Lord your God, your heart, your soul, your strength, before it says, impress them on your children? See, we can't pass something on to our kids that we don't have ourselves. The word impress here in the Greek literally means to be ingrained, permanently fixed. It's like being branded. You know, when a cow is branded, it's with them for life. It stays with them for life. Isn't that the type of faith that we would like for our children? Faith that will be with them for life. If we want our kids to be people of prayer, we have to be people of prayer. If we want our kids to value God's word, then we have to value God's word. It goes back to the question early on, what will my kids pick up in my shadow? This passage in Deuteronomy goes on to say, impress this on your children by, reading again verse number 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Three of the four references here happen where? At home. We desperately need the church. We desperately need the fellowship of the church, but we can't, and this is for me as well, we can't make church a replacement for bringing up our kids in the way of the Lord at home. I'm standing before you today, not just as a kids pastor, but as a mom that is trying to do this, trying to work on this and figure this out for my family as well. I don't always have the answers, but I know who to look to find the answers. It's right here in his word. And it's never too late. If you believe that God can turn things around, there's a song we sing, he turned around, and you believe that he can work miracles, then believe that he can do that in your home today. It doesn't matter what age your kids are. He can work a miracle. He can turn things around today. Musicians, if you will come to the stage, let's make a stand today. Let's make a stand that our home will never be the same. As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Our family matters to God. Our marriage matters to God. Our children matter to God. Let's decide to follow his picture of what our family should look like. Let's decide to follow his plan and his example. I know I always have good intentions to start things another day. I'll say, oh, you know what, next week after this busy week, I'm going to start this really good thing. Or tomorrow, I'm going to start this good thing. But let's not do that anymore with our family. Let's not put our family off. Let's not put God's plan off for our family another day. Let's find time to pray with our family. Find time to talk about what Jesus has done in our life with our family. find time to read the Bible with our family. God is the best example of a father that we could ask for. He will help us. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. There are days that I have to ask him to lead me and guide me as a parent, probably more than anything else. He will do it. He's our example. But maybe you're here today and you need to make a new commitment to Jesus. Maybe you haven't been loving God with your whole heart. You know, like I said, we can't take our kids where we're not at. And maybe you know you need to get yourself on the right path so that you can lead your kids. Or maybe they're grown kids. Maybe they're little kids. Whatever they are, you need to lead your family to Jesus. But you got to get things right first. You need to love. We have to love God with our whole heart first. But maybe it's obedience that you're struggling with. Obedience to a parent or obedience to God. Maybe there's something that you want and God has been saying, no, not now, not now. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a financial achievement. Whatever it is, we need to trust God. Maybe you just need to bring it to God today and you need to surrender and lay it down and say, I trust you, God. Whatever this is, I'm not going to be that kid sitting in your lap asking for it. Here it is. I trust you, God. Or maybe this morning, the whole topic of parenting is painful. Maybe you still have pain and wounds from your own childhood. Let your Abba Father wrap his arms around you this morning. Let him heal you so that you then in turn can honor as he has asked us to do. Or maybe you have pain because you haven't been able to have children or whatever it is. God sees you today. Let him bring healing and peace to you today. Because family matters. Children matter. You matter to God. Let's follow his plan. Husbands lead in love. Wives submit. Children obey. And parents bring our kids up and in the instruction of the Lord. That way, we do that so that our children and our children's children and generations to come will know the goodness of God. Can we just stand and let's just spend a moment in God's presence? If our prayer team would come to the front. I have a two-part altar call today. But the first part, though, if you're here and you need to make a new commitment, you just know there's been some things that have been more important than God in your life. We've all been there at times. And you need to say, hey, I'm stepping out because today, God is my priority. I'm going to love him today with my whole heart. I'm going to do all those things today. I'm not putting it off anymore. Maybe it's your first commitment. Maybe it's just a new commitment. Or you're here and you need healing. Healing from wounds from parents, healing from wounds from children. Grown children can cause hurt, we know. Maybe that's what you need healing from today. So for the first part, I just want to give everybody a second to come and find someone to pray for, and to pray for you, to make a new commitment, to step out and say, I'm going to love God with my whole heart today, or for healing. Or if there's something that you haven't been obeying God and you need to just trust God, or maybe it's not even an obedience thing. When I was preparing for this message weeks ago, I felt like God wanted to tell people to trust him. And I said, what is that? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't even have anything to do with children. But God just wants you to trust him today. It might be finances. It might be a job. Whatever it is, just trust him. Surrender to him. Remember that he is your father, and he is the best father that you could even imagine. So let's just for a minute, that is you, I want you to come find someone to pray with you. If you would just sing one chorus, and then we're going to have a second part. God, we just thank you, Father. We thank you. We love you. God, let it be today. Let today be the day that we are changed. Let today be the day that we find healing. Let today be the day that we show that we live in a way that we are in love with you. In your name we pray. We trust you today, Father God.
I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will.
Let's make a stand for our family. If you have small kids, or if you have kids that are with you in the pew, just step out as a step and a sign to God, and even a sign against the enemy that this is my family. We will serve the Lord. Maybe you're a grandparent and your kids are no longer at home, but you want to stand in proxy and you say, hey, this is, I'm praying for this person. I know God can work a miracle. I know they were raised up in the ways of the Lord. Or maybe you just want to pray that people would be surrounded around them. Today, we're stepping out for our family. Today, our family, we're claiming our family back. Or maybe your family's always been for the Lord, but we're saying today, things are going to change in our family. Maybe it's our grandkids. We're praying for our grandkids. Father God, you see every grandparent here. You see their heart for their children. God, I pray that you would change these parents' hearts that are not here today. God, these grandparents are praying for these grandchildren. I pray you would surround them with people that speak into their life, Father God. God, that they would have a faith, that they would remember the faith of their childhood. God, we pray for those that have left the faith. God, we pray you call them back. God, that they would remember the faith, that they would come back to their first love. God, I pray that you would use us as parents to speak into the lives of our children, whether they be here or whether they be out of the home, wherever they be. God, that you would use us to speak to our children, God. God, give us direction how to come together as a family, how to come together as a family to follow you, to obey you. God, I pray that our homes, you would be number one above anything else, above the TV, above the sports, above anything, God. Those things are great, but that you would be number one in our home. God, help us to find ways to do that. Whether we have kids in our home or not, help us to love you most. Help us to love you first. Help us to write these things on our doorposts that we would talk about you when we're on the way home and when we're on the road and when we're getting up and when we're going to bed, God. That we would be in love with you. And that then our children would be in love with you. And our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren would be in love with you, God. Help us to trust you with our children, God. Help us to trust you. You know best for our family. Help us to trust you for what our children will do in life and become in life. Help us to trust you with our finances, God. Help us to trust you with our jobs. Help us to trust you with our life, God. God, we love you. You're so good to us. You know us. God, I pray that you would wrap your arms around every hurting person here today. If they're hurting from pain of their childhood, or pain from their family, or pain from their kids, their grown kids, God, heal that pain in the name of Jesus. That you would remind them that you see them and you love them and you are their father. They might not even know another good father, but you are their good father this morning, God. We come against the enemy's attack on our family in the name of Jesus. We speak freedom over our family. We speak joy over our family, the joy of the Lord over our family. And we speak peace over our family. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. We come against that attack, and we declare today that our family belongs to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Give us wisdom, God. As parents, give us wisdom. As children of parents, give us wisdom, God. Help us to honor. Help us to obey. Help us to follow your plan and our family, God. We in your picture, and we just love you and thank you. In your name we pray. We thank you, Father God.
Praise God. Praise God. Healing is in this house. Family healing is in this place today. If there are fractures in your family, believe God for healing. Relationships restored. Reach out and find how well it works. Hallelujah. Please be seated with us. Joel, Roger, would you join me up here, please? In Corinthians, we are told that we are laborers together with Christ Jesus. And laboring is what we are about. And I want to bring these two men up and let you know the endeavor that we are about to take part in. Do you have me a picture? Here we go. On March the 20th, we will leave for the Ivory Coast. And we will be beginning a facility like you see here, a church facility, a 45 by 90 church in a small village called Lamapu. Lamapu is a village of the Yakuba tribe in the Ivory Coast. These two men have signed up to go with me, as well as another man from another church, to go begin this structure. But we're going to do more than build while we're there. We are going to be, all of us are and will be evangelists. We will be traveling to other villages. Now, the village that we are putting this church in, a year ago, there were only two people who had ever heard the name of Jesus. About 4 or 5 months ago, Kevin Thompson preached his first sermon in French, and 250 people got saved, and they need a building. Pastor Wallace promised that we would furnish the building and we would put it up. And these two gentlemen have volunteered to go help me. And, you know, I had others who wanted to go, and they told me they wanted to go. Some of them had, it was issues with other things. Some it was issues with finance to go. But today I'm hoping that everybody would help us with this project. I learned a biblical principle long ago that if we share the responsibility, we will share the reward. And when you can't do something to the degree that you'd like to do it, you can join somebody else and still get reward. Everybody gets reward. And if you are one of those, and I've already mentioned this to several of you, who said, I would love to go, but at this time it's just not right, or the finances are not here, or I tried and I couldn't put it together. If you still want to go, sow into this, and I'll be going back. This is my life. This is what I do. And we will go again. Matter of fact, I've already been asked to put up two more in the Ivory Coast. So there's plenty of work, and there'll be plenty of chances. But if sow into this and believe God for a harvest that you can go the next time. I am thankful for these men and for what they're doing and what they're sacrificing. They have signed up to pay their own way and go. And, you know, I have been teaching them. We've been prepared. And we are in that. We've already booked tickets. We've already booked hotels and transportation. All that stuff is set in place. We've just got some, you know, travel restrictions, some hoops that we got to jump through in the next 2 weeks. So pray for us. All that stuff works out. And because we are committed to do this thing, and we're going to do it right. Today we want to receive an offering. Pastor Wallace set a goal for $15,000. Now, if you're not prepared to give today, you can still give to this over the next 2 weeks. You just need to mark or endorse exactly where you want the money to go, and you can just say missions or Ivory Coast missions, and it will all go to doing this project. Kevin and Mariah Thompson have given their lives to Africa. When I was in the Ivory Coast in November, there was a pastor, the pastor that I've been associated with there in the Ivory Coast, Pastor Fahey, who takes care of us when we travel there. I have been in his church and preached in his church since 2018. He heard Kevin make a statement that just caught him off guard and took him by surprise, because Kevin told Pastor Fahey, he said, I will live and die in Africa. Pastor Fahey is in charge of he has connections in all the French-speaking nations of Africa, about 30 nations. And when he heard Kevin say that, he went to him and wrapped his arms around him, and he said, you are my son. Here is all my contact information, and anything you need, you are my son. You just come see Daddy. I will take care of it for you. Because he realized their commitment. So, we're asking you to join with Roger, Joel, and myself with Kevin and Mariah to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in unreached places. So stand with me now. We're going to pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. Do what you feel the Holy Spirit would have you do. Believe with us for this $15,000 to come in inside the next 3 weeks. And that God would... Let me tell you about the strategy here. This village is within walking distance of 10 other villages that are all still unreached people. There are no churches, not even an awareness of Jesus, except for what Kevin and Mariah are doing. They want to see a church in every one of those villages. So there's still a lot of work to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the call that you have stamped upon our lives to carry the gospel to the nations. This church believes in missions, and we want to do our part to win the world for Jesus. Guide us today in our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may now give. Thank you so much.
That some of you may be giving online. You can hit guest missions. If you're giving online, you can hit guest missions. I just realized that. And I wanted to let you know that Pastor is in Edenton today, ministering there. He'll be there tonight at 6:00. He welcomes his folks to come and support him and encourage him. And encourage that body of Christ tonight. So at 6:00, Edenton Assembly of God. And it's easy to get to. And I hope that some of you will dedicate to go out and hear Pastor speak to this body of Christ tonight. 6:00, Edenton Assembly of God.